Welcome in to the Devi Devotional Podcast, a show devoted to all things Devi and C2C. Hosted by John Arrington and Aaron Wilcox, this dynamic duo brings you actionable strategies with player-driven analysis for your Devi and C2C leagues. Let's dive in.
Let's dive into Cornerstone Rankings. Welcome into the Devi Devotional, where we stay devoted to Devi. I'm your host, Dynasty Coach A, joined as always by Aaron Wilcox at AaronWilcox86 on Twitter. And tonight, like I said, we're going to be going into some Cornerstone Ranks. We're going to be covering players like I promised last time, going over some Devi players, where they mix into the ranks with the Dynasty players that are already scoring you points, all that kind of stuff. Because we can sit here and talk until we're blue in the face about these Devi prospects, but if you don't really know how to value them, does it really matter? And so, you know, I feel like we need to do this more often. Honestly, this is probably something we haven't done quite enough, and we're going to try and do it a little bit more often here. And, you know, I think we have a great list here that Aaron came up with, so we'll definitely get you some good info tonight. But first, let's check in on Aaron. How are you doing there, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing well. And yes, it was fun coming up with the list here. Not always easy, and especially not easy to rank these guys. So it'll be interesting where we settle in today. But comparing that NFL compared to college side, you're right, is very important, especially whether it's Devi or a C2C league. And I think for tonight's purposes, we will focus more on the Devi implications, looking at these guys as, you know, NFL caliber or prospects versus like focusing like on the CFF side. Like this is all still very relevant for campus to Canton leagues, but let's just focus on the Devi aspect and how these guys project out, of course, to the NFL side eventually too.
Real quick, just because you kind of brought it up, you've said in the past that you feel like it's fairly easy to go into a supplemental draft in C2C leagues or in a campus league and go and draft a bunch of CFF producers. It's not that difficult. So if anything, we should be, even if we are talking about C2C campus to Canton leagues right now, we probably should be focusing on Devi players and not worried about the CFF part of it right now, this second, because we want to like help our teams for the future, like that kind of thing. So, I mean, it really could be for Devi purposes, for C2C purposes, whatever. Like I said, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm pretty sure you've said them in the past.
Yeah. And when you boil it down to just the fact that Devi players are likely to produce really well, that makes them good campus assets, right? So at the end of the day, yeah, these guys we expect to be good, hopefully, both in college production wise and then as prospects too.
Absolutely. Toronto Dave's in the chat. What's up, buddy? And I don't want to start with the quarterbacks just because obviously that's always the most fun and most difficult to go through. So I guess, you know, why don't we actually, you know what? I don't want to start with the tight ends. I was going to say start with the boring tight ends, but I don't think they're all that boring right now. Why don't we start with the running backs? Because I feel like running backs are kind of, I mean, it's just like, do you even want any running backs on your team, you know, besides like one or two, you know, maybe a handful, and then B, you know, do you want to keep them once they are on your team, like that kind of thing. So why don't we start with the running backs, then we'll get into like maybe more of the exciting ones. But I feel like we have a good list here. Starting off, we have a set of four players here: Kyren Williams, Devon Achane, Quinshon Judkins, which actually is very topical, which probably wasn't even as topical when you put it on the list, but still, you know, obviously an important player. And then Braylon Allen. So Kyren Williams, Devon Achane, Quinshon Judkins, and Braylon Allen. That's a tough one already. You know, like I said, these are not going to be easy. And I definitely like all these players. I'm going to let you start off here, obviously, because you started, you made the list. So we'll let you start off here with the running backs and, you know, who are you starting off with? Because this one is very interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting. And in general, not saying that this is going to be my strategy for every single list tonight, but if you can go with the NFL guy who is already established, you know, is going to be productive, that is just more safe than betting on a guy, hopefully, who can make it to the NFL. And then after that, hopefully put up production and get into a good situation and all that. So I'll just go with the guy who has already the best situation and has already flashed really well and not a ton of competition there either. And Devon Achane, I mean, you know, Achane. I guess I'm still hearing both out there. But anyways, I really do think that he is probably set up the best out of this group. I mean, it's kind of risky. Like, is a small guy like that gonna ultimately hold up? But it doesn't really matter if he gets 20, 30 touches per game. Like, I mean, the guy's super effective, productive, and he's in the perfect system. He landed in the right spot. So I would go Achane. After that, I was really torn between Quinshon Judkins and Kyren Williams, just because it's like, what have you done for me lately? Versus, I mean, in a couple of years, I think we'd all prefer Quinshon Judkins. You don't really know how Kyren Williams will age in the NFL. Like, was he just a one-hit wonder this year and they bring in another guy? It's a split backfield. Like, that could more easily happen than we probably should. Yeah, I mean, it's a very real possibility we should accept. But I, for the purposes of this tonight, I went Achane, Kyren Williams, then Quinshon, then Braylon Allen. And it's not like Braylon Allen's trash, but I mean, I think all of us prefer Quinshon as a prospect. And then Kyren, I guess it's like he's already in a pretty good system and he's shown what he can do this last year. And the NFL's kind of, they're becoming more and more accepting of these smaller backs playing a big role in their offenses.
Yeah, it's really tough because with Quinshon, you want to say moving over to Ohio State now that he's going to, you know, be more in the limelight and all that kind of stuff. But we have no idea who the QB is going to be there. We have no idea if their offense is going to be any good. I mean, it wasn't all that spectacular this past season, and that was with MHJ and Emeka Egbuka and everything. And I guess we're expecting Emeka Egbuka to go back to school. I guess we're hoping that Trevion Henderson's not, you know, going to go to the NFL, because if it ends up being both, I mean, obviously for Devy purposes, probably not an issue, but we're always talking about, you always want to see the production and all that kind of stuff. You're not going to see that if you have a mix of Quinshon and Trevion. I don't expect, especially because, you know, we were talking to our friend Anan Enduri, and he was saying last night, and he was saying how they were talking about possibly Trevion staying because they want to keep fresh legs for the NFL. And it's like, well, just go to the NFL. Like, you don't keep fresh legs by staying in college. Like, that's not how this works. So I don't understand it, but you know, that's just like what he was hearing from people and everything. Not that we're like breaking news here, but it was just rumors. But yeah, it's really tough, but I think when we're talking about the actual, you know, the actual talent of the players, which unfortunately with running backs, I feel like matters less now than it used to. You know, like it used to be very simple. It was just like, this guy's this size, he can run this fast and he can do this. And, you know, he can juke this many people and now you're done. And nowadays it's like, well, this guy catches really well and this guy, you know, doesn't, but you know, we're going to run them both, you know? And so it really becomes difficult, and it's more about scheme and fit and all that than actual just talent. But I think I'm with you with Devin Achane. He's got to be the one. I think that Raheem Mostert's going to go away at some point. I also don't think that even if he doesn't, or, you know, someone else steps into that position, I don't know that it's going to be 20 plus touchdowns happening for one player. You know, I think that maybe Achane will step in more into that role. Obviously he dealt with injuries and stuff, but we saw here at the end of the season, you know, he definitely got some run and looked really good doing it. You know, kind of like easing our concerns because he didn't do that much for a couple weeks. And then all of a sudden it was like, okay, yeah, he's back. So I'm with you with Achane. I really struggle with Quinshon and Kyren Williams. I truly believe that Quinshon is a better running back than Kyren Williams. And that's not even saying anything bad. Like, I always liked Kyren. I didn't love him. I didn't think he was like some amazing running back or anything like that. I still don't know that I truly believe that he's some amazing running back, although he's doing great things on the field, going back to what I was just talking about. But, you know, obviously the scheme and the fit and everything with Sean McVay and the Rams just is just working. So I want to say, just because we're already seeing it and everything, that, you know, that it should be Kyren. And with Quinshon and any of these running backs, we can never guarantee draft capital and all that kind of stuff. If anything, we're seeing these running backs getting worse and worse draft capital each year. And so I feel like they might be, I would hope that Quinshon gets better draft capital when it's all said and done. And for running backs, we actually care about that. But I think I'm just going to go with what's our, you know, like the bird in hand, and just go with Kyren there. I'll put Quinshon there, and then I'll take Braylon at four. Once again, I think it's fairly close. Like, Braylon deserves to be in this tier, but I think he's kind of an obvious fourth until we see a team just say, no, he's going to be our workhorse back. Then we can go, okay, now we're moving him up. But it's really tough once again, in this day and age, for running backs to be like, yeah, some team is going to go, yeah, give Braylon 30 touches a game.
Yeah, I think all that's fair. And we pretty much agreed with that whole deal. And shout out to Toronto Dave here. He says that he likes this exercise. He's not going to lie. And I think we like it as well. It's useful. So, yeah, very, very good. How about what do you want to go with next here, John? We got some more players.
Yeah, absolutely. So we kind of broke it into tiers. I'm guessing that's how you did it. Is this, that's how you were feeling when you made the list, or just four different players in different tiers, whatever you want to call it. So we have another set of running backs here. And this one's interesting because we were just talking about him with Trevion Henderson. You know, is he coming out? Is he staying another year? Obviously, that's going to be huge for his value. It could be a good thing, you know, him going back and doing all that. It could be one of those things where you go, why the hell did he, you know, stay a year? I mean, I have to assume he's not staying at this point. It doesn't make any sense. Like, once again, they don't have a QB. Quinshon Judkins is going there. Like, it doesn't make any sense for him to stay, but we just don't know at this point. So Trevion Henderson, Saquon Barkley, Kenneth Walker III, and Travis Etienne. This is a tough one. And that's why I wanted to start with the running backs, because I feel like we can get the tough stuff out of here. And then, you know, I feel like the other positions maybe are a little easier for me, especially the quarterbacks, because it's pretty much I like them or I don't, you know. And so how are you feeling about, or I guess I'll start on this one. I mean, Trevion's my boy. Like, that, I've always loved Trevion. He's been my one, like 1B to Bijan, even going back, like, you know, 2-3 years ago when they were freshmen, and nothing's really changed. Obviously, he's had some injury concerns. That hasn't always been great, but man, when he's on the field, he is a dynamic player that cannot be stopped. Going up against some of the best defenses in the Big Ten, doesn't matter. He looks amazing. And I don't think anything's going to be different once he gets to the NFL. He's got a great receiving profile, great size, great athleticism. He has everything that you could possibly want. And that's not to say that Saquon Barkley doesn't have that. It's not to say that Kenneth Walker doesn't have that, or even Travis Etienne. I love all four of these players. But obviously, you know, when we're talking about age and everything, you know, but more importantly, I do think he's going to get, you know, substantial draft capital. You know, even if substantial draft capital in this day and age is second round, it's still going to be good enough to where a team is going to, you know, want to invest in him. And unfortunately with running backs, you know, that 2-3-4 year difference makes a huge difference. And, you know, sometimes just having a guy, it's almost like how teams are, you know, treating quarterbacks in the NFL. Just getting a guy on their rookie contract and just running him into the ground, you know, like, that's kind of what I want to do. I want to get Trevion and running him into the ground on my dynasty squad and then, you know, go do it all over again. So I'm going to put Trevion there at one. I guess at this point you have to have Kenneth Walker over Saquon Barkley because we have no idea where Saquon's going to be. He's obviously older. You know, I love Saquon, love his talent. I don't think he's done. I don't think he's dead. I honestly think he will end up in a better position. But we've seen, you know, Kenneth Walker is in a good position. He stayed fairly healthy. He's had, you know, minor issues, but nothing too crazy. And he's just shown that he's a great running back. I mean, I've liked him since day one, basically. Obviously, you know, what, 3 years younger than Saquon, I believe. And so I'm going to put Kenneth Walker there. I think I got to put ETN there too. I mean, honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, I was kind of leaving ETN out of my head, but yeah, I'm going to put ETN there. The Jaguars offense is a little concerning right now. I mean, like, they're maybe not hitting like we wanted them to, but ETN has shown that he's just a stud and it doesn't really truly matter how great the offense is, that he's just going to put points on the board. You know, obviously he's had those huge games. He had what, like, 3 or 4 2-touchdown games in a row. He showed that he can do it. So, and then, you know, as much as I like Saquon, I got to have him there at 4. How do you think?
Yeah, honestly, I'm with you there with Henderson at 1. He's just a stud, always has been. And it just seems like, you know, the injuries haven't zapped his athleticism. The athleticism is still there, even if, you know, it's hindered his efficiency a little bit in season. He will be healthy when he's coming back. Well, if he declares or if he comes back for another year. But the guy is a young workhorse, at least capable of being a workhorse in the NFL, and just so explosive. He's another guy like Achan who doesn't necessarily need a ton of touches to be really, really valuable for your NFL team. So I agree there with Henderson at one, and I really struggled with this. I had to look back at Saquon Barkley's age, and I know we hate, like you said, you hate to really harp on that and use that as a differentiator, but sometimes you have to because of the perceived value and the reality that running backs don't last forever. And I mean, he's going to be turning, 27 here in about a month, and that's tough. So I initially had him second, and then I agree with you, I got to move him down to four, and then I got Kenneth Walker and then Travis Etienne and then Barkley. So ultimately the differentiator there between Walker and Etienne is just that, I mean, like you said, the offense for the Jags and Etienne down the stretch just didn't look very good. Both of those things were true, and Kenneth Walker has been good whenever he's out there. It's just been a little bit of is he going to start losing touches to Charbonnet? Is injury going to finally like take him out for the season? Because there was a couple stretches there along the season where it's like, man, is this guy like, is he almost injury prone? It doesn't necessarily seem like he's sitting out a ton of games because of it. Like he's a really tough guy and he's willing to go out there when he's still kind of banged up. So at least that's, we know we can play through that. He's not just missing all these games all the time. So ultimately Walker, then Etienne, then Barkley to round out that top four.
Excuse me. Honestly, the more I think about it, I feel like they all have question marks, but at least Trevion's that shiny new toy, you know, and that's the way I'm kind of looking at it. So I think I agree with you, but you know, really the more you like, I'm sitting here nitpicking each one as I'm even thinking about it, talking about it. And I honestly, like, I could switch ETN and Kenneth Walker and have no issues, you know, like have ETN at two and Walker at three, and it really wouldn't bother me at all. I wouldn't argue with anyone that said that they had ETN at two. I really wouldn't even argue with anyone that said that they had Saquon at two. But like you said, the age does kind of make it to where he feels like he needs to be at four. And I even like I traded a first for Barkley in a league like halfway through the season, something like that. And I mean, it was a late first. It ended up being, I think it was 110, and you know, so like it was late first, it was fine. But as the season went on, I was kind of felt gross about it, you know, and he was fine. He was good. But I want to, like, in my head, I think of Saquon as like 24, and he's not 24, you know, so I got to get that out of my head for sure.
Right. I mean, he still is in his prime, but it's like the window slammed shut pretty fast for some of those running backs, especially with some of the injuries he's had to endure and that terrible offense that he continues to be a part of. He has, you know, not much say there, obviously, but I will add one last thing about running back ages. And Kenneth Walker is, well, he turned 23 a couple months ago, and then Travis Etienne's about to turn 25. So believe it or not, like Etienne, it seems like he's a super young guy, which, I mean, he's still young, right? But at the end of the day, 2 year age difference just about with Kenneth Walker. That's why he's number two for me.
And Trevion's what, 21, 22? Something like that. That's why I feel like, once again, shiny new toy. give me that Trevion, baby. And then rounding out the running backs, we have Devin Neal, Audric Estime, my baby, Joe Mixon, and Isaiah Pacheco. And this is another interesting one, I guess a lower tier of players here. We have Devin Neal, who is absolutely going back to school, right? Is that confirmed? I believe. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I heard.
So Devin Neal going back to school, not coming out this year, but you know, had a solid season. Audric Estime put it together an amazing season. I mean, skyrocketed up ranks. I mean, honestly, like you probably didn't even have him in your top 20 running backs going into the season, right? And I'm assuming you have him in your top 20 running backs now.
Yeah. Are you saying just like overall in Devi or?
Yeah. Overall in Devi.
Mm-hmm. I think he was like pretty close. Like I did warm up to the idea that, I mean, he's going to have a huge workload and NFL size and everything, but I was never like as high on him as you. So I will be curious to see if you have him just outright at number one here or what you decide on these running backs. What do you think?
And then obviously Joe Mixon, another aged running back. I believe he's 27 as well, or going to be 27 if he hasn't already turned it. And then Isaiah Pacheco, who I've never believed in as a talent. Obviously he has burst, he has speed, but man, he just, I don't think he's actually a good running back. Like I honestly, I believe that he is a bad running back, but he's just in such a good situation and just like whatever, like I don't know if it's a scheme, the fit or what, but like it just works. It just absolutely works to where he's able to put up points. But I mean, you see when they need him to like produce, he doesn't do it, you know, but like randomly he'll get like 10 yards here, 12 yards there or whatever. But they need 3 yards, he gets dropped in the backfield, you know, like he's just not a good running back. But that's my whole thing. Obviously he's producing, he's great. He's at 4 for me. Like I want nothing to do with them. If I have them, great on my team. Like I'm not just getting rid of them for nothing, but like I will never pay for Isaiah Pacheco because I truly believe that he should and could be replaced at any given moment. I mean, like they have to bring someone else on. You know, CEH's contract is up now. I'm assuming they're going to cut him at some point, although he actually looked decent at times, like very small spurts or whatever this season. So maybe they'll keep him on a cheap contract. Who knows? But there's enough. We're starting to see these depth pieces enter the NFL draft. And there's enough of those guys, even though we're not saying that this is some amazing RB class. There's enough of those guys to where anyone could get drafted in like this 5th, 6th, 7th round, whatever, and at least have competition for Pacheco. So once again, I'm putting him there at 4. I don't think I believe in Devin Neal, so I'm going to put him at 3. He's shown bursts. Like he's shown, he's never consistently done it though. And you know, I don't know that he's actually I don't know that he's a workhorse running back, you know, and so if he's not that, and if teams don't look at him that way, and if he's probably going to end up getting like what 3rd or 4th round draft capital next year, all that kind of stuff. Obviously, we're waiting another year. I just don't see the value in having him up high and, you know, at first and second. Mixon is obviously, you know, getting older, but I mean, they've kind of shown that they just give him the ball, you know, I know obviously, you know, there's contract issues, like they, you know, they might get out of that contract and, you know, do whatever. He might even be a free agent. Honestly, I don't remember exactly what his contract is, but I feel like he still has something to give to these teams. And, you know, he's valuable. Although once again, it's not somebody I want to go out and buy or trade for or anything like that, but it's just one of those guys that if he's on my team and no one's willing to give me anything, I'm perfectly fine just keeping him and running with him hopefully he'll be better than this, but like a la Ezekiel Elliott from this past season where like people would just give you absolutely nothing for him. And guess what? He actually scored me some points in NFL or in fantasy playoffs this year and won me games just because I was like, no, I'm not dropping him. I'm not trading him for a 4th or 5th or whatever. I'll just keep him and he will score points for me at some point. And that's kind of how I feel about Mixon. Hopefully it's better than that, but I feel like worst case scenario, it could be something like that Ezekiel Elliott role. And then you said it before, but I love Adric Estime. He has skyrocketed up my ranks even, and I still don't feel like he gets the respect that he deserves. I think that he's a very clear one here, especially when you start talking about the age and everything. And he's not like the youngest running back, but he's not old by any means either. So I just don't see any reason for him not to be the clear one. I believe he's going to be a day 2 running back in this draft class, and he's going to go to a solid team. Hopefully. I mean, worst case scenario, he would be a high end backup, you know, role, but I really, I don't know. Like, I feel like he's going to be a 2nd or 3rd round pick. The worst case scenario is going to be, ends up getting Seahawked like Charbonnet did last year, you know, where he goes to a team that already has a starter, that kind of thing, which sucks. But I mean, talent wise, all that kind of stuff, I definitely believe in Estime the most.
Yeah, that's fair. I do have to say that I put him at 1, but I don't think it's necessarily, I wouldn't agree that it's as clear cut, or at least, you know, that's not how I was seeing it. Excuse me. It's like, you know, Joe Mixon, like you said, he's just that aging guy who might have 1 to 2 more years of high end starting, but at least we know what he is. You know, Estime, like you said, he could just end up being kind of that high end, you know, 1B option, or you know, if he lands at a really bad spot, he could be the 2, depending on where he goes. So we just don't know quite yet. But I mean, he's a talented kid, so you'd think he gets a shot at some point. Pacheco, like you said, job security is much more poor than people want to say. And then Devin Neal, you have to wait a whole another year. So at the end of the day, I don't think I disagree with your rankings. I would probably flip Pacheco, but my rankings are going to be Adric Estime, Joel Mixon, Pacheco, and then Neal, only for the pure fact of you can trade Pacheco for a lot more than you can get out of Devin Neal. I think at this moment in time, that's never the best way to go, is saying like, well, this guy has more value, but if he's a bad player, he's about to lose a lot of value. What good does that do you if you're sitting there holding the bag? So ultimately, Pacheco, I have him ahead of Neal because of the current value. If, we're comparing guys like talent wise, I do think that Neal might be a little bit better than him, but I'll take Pacheco over Neal. Oh, you're muted.
Thank you. I said that's really fair. Honestly, I think that people are going to dislike that Neal's going back for his senior season and things like that. So, his value is only going to drop. I really have no idea like how Kansas is going to look next year, if their offense is going to be better or whatever. So I think that there's definitely question marks, and you probably can trade Pacheco. So I'd probably flip mine, flip Pacheco up to three. But I just don't believe in Pacheco. I just don't like him. Enough about the running backs. We don't have we can't do a 2-hour pod like we normally try to, but tonight. So we're going to try and move on a little bit quicker. What do you want to do? You want to do tight ends next and just get it out of the way?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So obviously this past season was pretty damn exciting for tight ends. Obviously Sam Laporta, Dalton Kincaid, Trey McBride came out of not really nowhere. Obviously I was a huge McBride fan. I think you were as well going into last year, and then he didn't really do much except for maybe 1 week. This year explodes. I'm not going to do the two different tiers. I'm just going to put them all together unless you really want to do it. But I feel like for the tight ends, we can kind of just throw them all together if that's okay with you.
Yeah, that's fine for sure. Because the two groupings, it's like the first, grouping is probably a step up. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be pretty easy to put them all together. So we have Brock Bowers, Sam Laporta, Dalton Kincaid, Trey McBride, Luke Lachey, JT Sanders, Jatavion Sanders, whatever you want to call him, Kate Otten, and Dalton Schultz. And so, a lot of names there, but a lot of names that you probably should know. Maybe not so much Kate Otten, but we can get into that here in a little bit. I mean, he should be on rosters. Let's put it that way. So I want to see, because obviously you got people out there saying Brock Bowers is, better than Kyle Pitts, the best tight end prospect of all time, all that kind of stuff. Are you putting him at one, or are you going to say, no, we've already seen it done from Laporta, Kincaid, whoever?
Yeah, well, I'll give you my top four, because I do group the top four, definitely above some of the other ones that you mentioned there. And no, Bowers is not at one for me. It's Sam Laporta. I think he's just the tight end one in Dynasty right now. And then the tight end two in Dynasty, in my opinion, is Trey McBride. And then Brock Bowers certainly could get there. Like, I'm not saying that he can't. It's just we got to see it first at the NFL level. And the guy has a couple of flaws in his profile. I'm not saying that that's going to come back to bite him, but we need to see that landing spot. We need to see the utilization that can really make him such a great fantasy weapon for us. So just, pump the brakes a little bit on Bowers. Not that he shouldn't be going in the first in rookie drafts, because he absolutely should for that upside. And then Dalton Kincaid coming in at fourth. At one point this season, I had Kincaid ahead of McBride before McBride actually, made that really big stride forward. But I mean, it's obvious at this point, Kincaid, he has not really been as great as we thought, kind of mid-season. And then McBride's just been amazing. And Sam Laporta has been really, really consistent as a rookie too. So Laporta, McBride, Bowers, and Kincaid.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's kind of how it has to be. But I don't think – I know it's going to be blasphemy, but I don't think I can put Bowers over Kincaid. I just don't think I can do it right now. Obviously there's some small, slight size concerns for Bowers. He's more of a move tight end than a inline tight end, like all that kind of stuff. Like you were saying, a team has to use him right. And so that all leads me to believe that the right things have to happen. And I mean, the longer I do this, the more I realize the right things don't always happen. And a lot of times I would say the teams almost go out of their way to make sure the right things don't happen. Once again, going to like a Zach Charbonnet, Kenneth Walker kind of deal, it just makes no sense, but yet that's what the teams do. And then like the teams that are like, oh yeah, they have to draft a wide receiver. They're probably going to draft four and they don't draft a single one, And so it just never seems to truly work out. So I'm very scared that, Bowers is not going to go to this perfect situation where, like everything just works out perfectly. So I got Laporta. I have Kincaid. Or I'm sorry, Laporta, McBride, Kincaid, and then I would have Bowers. And honestly, like I get the concerns about Kincaid. Like he was kind of hit or miss or whatever. But if you look at the last 2 weeks, it's actually been kind of, you know, a little more promising. No touchdowns or anything, but seeing quite a few targets. And you have to remember, you know, they had an offensive coordinator change mid-season. So, you know, things are going to take time. Things are going to, get out of control. And, you know, they sometimes it just things don't really work out right away. We see that all the time. You know, like look at the, not to say that it got amazing, but look at the Bears at the beginning of the season, you know, with Justin Fields and new offensive coordinator and all that. Like they couldn't even put an actual offense on the field. And then, you know, by the mid-season, the end of the season, like they actually looked like a legit team, you know, like they could go out there and like not look like a hideous mess. So I think that, you know, we could see similar things, you know, whether they keep Joe Brady and, you know, just continue forward, or, you know, they go get a new offensive coordinator, whatever they do this offseason. I think they'll have time to implement things right, do all that. Second year for a tight end. I feel like there's going to be good things in the future for Dalton Kincaid. I'm not really worried about him. So I'm more concerned about Bowers getting the right fit, you know, doing all that kind of stuff, as talented as he is. And that's probably going to come back to bite me in the ass. But honestly, like, I feel like I'm perfectly fine with all four of those guys. So it really, I wouldn't be like that concerned. Like, oh no, I have Kincaid instead of Bowers. You know, like I think I'll be all right. And then getting into the next group there, I think you have to have JT Sanders, at least in my opinion, there at five. Schultz, I guess, you know, it would probably be there at six for me. I don't think that he's anything truly special, but you know, he is in a decent situation. Is he on a one-year contract or is he on a multi-year? He's just on 1 year. So, I mean, I guess we have to see where he signs. Does he re-sign with Houston? Like that kind of thing. That'll obviously be a big question mark. But as is, I'm going to say like he re-signs with Houston and then everything will be good. And then I don't think that Luke Lachey is actually all that good. I really don't. I don't think that Kay Dodden's all that good either. But we've actually seen him, you know, like have some plays and stuff like that. I think that I would put Kay Dodden at four or at eight, I guess I would say, and Luke Lachey at seven. But I really don't feel like that I have them all that differently. Like, I feel like Luke Lachey was just like a big name that people wanted to put out there. And then I don't really feel like he did what people wanted him to do, but maybe that's just, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. And I get it that Lachey hasn't necessarily put it all together quite yet. So I guess I'll go right back up to the top and just go through that tier. Jatavion Sanders, JT Sanders, Texas tight end coming out in this class. Exciting as the top guy. I still don't have him, you know, anywhere close to Kincaid because we still got to see landing spots and testing and all that stuff. And, you know, JT Sanders, I could see him testing really well, but he didn't necessarily always show that on the field and that, you know, game breaking speed or anything like that. And then I kind of go back and forth. It's like, does Schultz land back with the Texans? Because that seems like best case scenario, like great quarterback, going to be a good upcoming offense. And if he goes elsewhere, I mean, I could see him going to be like sharing time with Pat Freiermuth in Pittsburgh or, so, you know, like just something where it's like that nukes his value. Then I'd rather have the upside of like a Luke Lachey, for example. So at the end of the day, I don't think that Schultz is going to go to a situation that's bad or that is that, you know, dire or bad for his usage, but it could happen. So I'm wary of it, but I'm willing to put him ahead. I'll agree with you there. JT Sanders, Dalton Schultz, but then I have Lachey and then Auden. Not that, you know, Auden's trash or anything, but he's not a guy that you're rolling out there as an every week starter. And, you know, Luke Lachey, as much as, you know, he hasn't fully put it together yet. I mean, he's an Iowa tight end. He's put on the size year after year after year. He was a great recruit. He was going to have a very, very solid season. One of the best tight end seasons of all the tight ends this year. And then he just unfortunately was lost for the season due to injury. The guy's going to come back. He's going to be, in my opinion, the next in that line of Iowa tight ends. Does that mean he's going to be like a Sam Laporta? No, but I mean, Sam Laporta, he also took time at Iowa. Like you look at his first two seasons and it's like, ooh, that guy was no good. And the guy only scored one touchdown as a senior, and not that it's his fault the offense sucked, right? But like, we can't judge too much on Luke Lachey not blowing up when Sam Laporta was kind of, you know, he was okay in college, but it's not like he ever was above, you know, 12 and a half yards per reception. Like the guy didn't show like he was this amazing athlete. He just those guys translate really, really well. And I'm just going to take the shot on that upside over, you know, Auden, who we kind of know who he is. I don't really see him taking a huge stride forward.
Yeah, I don't like Lachey all that much. I don't think he's all that great, but he definitely has the ceiling potential to be better than Auden. So he should be at 7 for sure. I think that's enough about the tight ends. It's going to be really interesting to see where Bowers goes. Once again, I still think Bowers is going to end up being overrated in drafts and one of those players that I'm not going to have very much of just because people are always going to take him over the players that I think, you know, like are, you know, sure things, you know, that don't have those question marks, don't have to fit, you know, in the right system and all that kind of stuff, you know, like a Malik Nabers, like a Trevion Henderson, if he were to come out, you know, stuff like that. Like, I'm taking those guys before I'm taking Brock Bowers. And I know that is slightly controversial at the very least, because some people just think that Bowers is the clear cut 104, 105, whatever, and you got to take him no matter what. And I just don't tend to agree. But speaking of Malik Nabers, let's get into the wide receivers here. And we have Malik in this grouping. We have Puka Nacua, DJ Moore, Malik Nabers, and Evan Stewart. This is going to be another tough one because, I mean, we have a mix here of, you know, players that are still in college, you know, going back, or Evan Stewart's a third, going into his third year now, and, you know, just transferred college, or actually he hasn't even transferred. Technically he's in the transfer portal, but we don't know where he's going yet. So all of this is going to be very difficult with that one, because that could change our whole opinion on everything depending on where he ends up. But I think we all assume that he's going to end up in a very good spot. I don't think he's declared anywhere. I don't know. Aaron can tell me. No, he's shaking his head. So I'll go ahead and start off with this one. DJ Moore's my baby. I think he's proven himself in the past couple of years. You know, people are always so concerned about, can he score touchdowns? Can he do this? Guess what? He can. He can do it really well too. You know, not even in the perfect situation. People were concerned, oh, Justin Fields is going to ruin DJ Moore. Guess what? Justin Fields did not ruin DJ Moore. In fact, they did very well together. And whether they're together next year, that should just make things, you know, they should grow together. Or whether, you know, he's with a different quarterback or whatever, I don't expect anything to be drastically different, because it's either going to be Justin Fields or it's going to be one of these high-end QB prospects. So, like, I believe in our quality, you know, quality quarterbacks. So I don't really have too many concerns, and he's already proven it. He's still, you know, a great age. You know, we're not having to worry about him like aging out anytime soon or anything like that. DJ Moore at 1 for me, I'd say pretty easily. Although I really do love Malik Nabers. I really do. And, you know, I've said it in the past, but I feel like while he's not MHJ, he's about as close as you can get without actually being MHJ. As far as like the talent level and all that, I'm not comping the players. I'm not, you know, or anything like that. I'm just saying that, you know, like a bunch of other people have said it as well. If he was in any other class, he would be easily the wide receiver 1, but he has MHJ in this class. And so of course he's not the wide receiver 1, although there are people starting to put him there, which is probably a little crazy, but I do think he's a very, I don't want to say 1B, but a very high-end wide receiver 2 in the class, you know? And so I'm perfectly fine having him there. The fact that he's already coming out, he's projected to have extremely high first-round draft capital already, all that kind of stuff, easily puts him over Stewart for me, even though, you know, I love Stewart as a prospect and all that kind of stuff as well. And then, you know, Puka, there's some question marks with Stafford and Sean McVay. You know, but I think Puka proved it as a player. And so, you know, we can't, I don't want to say what if too much, but I think that I would have to have DJ Moore and Malik over Puka. I'd put Puka at 3 there, and then I'd put Stewart at 4, just because of the unknowns of the, you know, what team is he going to right now? While we do think that he's a high-end prospect, Stewart really hasn't put that much together yet. Like, he's put some production on the field, but he kind of had a lower or a slower you know, sophomore year. And so we need to see him take a step forward in whatever offense he ends up in and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, he definitely has the potential to put it all together and be that high-end prospect. But I feel like, you know, the more I'm thinking about it, the more I'm looking at this list, that he should really be like kind of almost the odd man out on this list.
Yeah, I have to agree there on Stewart. And so I do have him at 4. I have a different number 1. Malik Nabers, LSU prospect coming into this draft class. And so the reason for this is because you think what does Marvin Harrison Jr. have right now as far as dynasty value? And you look past the top three wide receivers. You got, you know, CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson. Then there's Marvin Harrison Jr. right there. And basically, like, if Malik Nabers is that 1B, and I know you didn't say per se that he is, but there are people out there saying that he's the same level of prospect or that he's very, very similar. And most people out there still have him super high in this class. It's like the guy is 20 years old, and maybe I'm just falling in love with the idea that you can have, you know, like a 21 year old stud by the time he actually starts playing in the NFL. He'll be 21, but you know that he's a super safe prospect. And even if he lands in a subpar situation, I mean, like DJ Moore, it could be Caleb Williams. It could be, you know, a rookie quarterback who might not be able to feed him quite the same way that Justin Fields has. And Fields hasn't even been like amazing as a passer. Like, I mean, say what you will about, you know, he's a good fantasy quarterback and he's an NFL starter, but there are still some question marks just with the DJ Moore surroundings. We've been saying that his whole entire career, and he still eats as like a high end, you know, wide receiver two, low end wide receiver one. But I mean, if Malik Nabers can get to that status by the end of this season and he's 21 years old, it's like, I'm just trying to project ahead a little bit. You can get hurt pretty badly by doing that. But at the end of the day, Malik Nabers, I just want to take that swing on that upside and just say, at this point, let's be ahead of the pack. Let's put him ahead of like a DJ Moore, who is a top guy, but he's not rising into anybody's, you know, top five dynasty wide receivers from this point forward. So Nabers, DJ Moore, then Puka, then Evan Stewart. And I agree with you on, you know, the Puka and the Stewart narrative there. I think Puka has proven it enough that he's good. You know, he's a guy who definitely, like, as a prospect was not wowing in the same way that he did this year, but there's just kind of, he's even doing it without Stafford is the thing. Even when Stafford was out earlier, or even this last week, he was still doing it in that offense. And, you know, we could see some shakeups there in the future. That could be detrimental to his stock, but you still have lots of time if you truly don't believe to sell him. And, or I think he's still got another season for sure of very high end production as Cooper Kupp, unfortunately ages and probably fades a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with that. And honestly, I would assume that I'm the odd man out here as far as the DJ Moore, because I feel like most people, at least that have looked at Malik Nabers, know, you know, like anything about him, his, you know, in him as a prospect, would probably put him over DJ Moore. I can't do it. Like, that DJ has always been my baby, and like that, I can't do it. I still believe in the talent. I think he's going to be an amazing wide receiver in the NFL for years to come. And so, like, you know, I'm not going to sit here. I get what you're saying. Oh, Malik's 21. You know, it's going to be amazing, whatever. But I'm not sitting here going, oh, I'm going to have this guy for 11 years or whatever. You know, I'm perfectly fine thinking for the next 3 to 4 years, I will have both of them on my team and be perfectly fine. And so, like, that's why I'm willing to do it. But I feel like, once again, I feel like a lot of people would put Malik over DJ. And honestly, they're pretty close. I really won't even truly argue with you. I feel like those two, though, are like the obvious two. And then I feel like Puka's kind of in his own tier, and then Stewart's in his own tier there. You know, like that's just my personal opinion. But, you know, I'd say there's more question marks with Puka, even though he has proven that he's definitely more talented than everyone thought. You know, there's still some question marks about what's going on there, because, you know, the Rams have kind of put things together, you know, that making the playoffs, doing all that kind of stuff. But I mean, we have to see what happens after this season. I would just say that, because there's a lot going on with salary cap and whatever else. But let's get into the next tier here, and we have Zachariah Branch, which is going to be an interesting one, because I believe that he broke all the year 1-0 thresholds and everything, but then he goes into that last bowl game and puts up absolutely nothing. Does like absolutely nothing when Mekhi Lemon's putting up, you know, like a pretty good game, and all these other players, he was out there. He just wasn't really doing much. I believe Deuce Robinson had a decent game as well. And then Zachariah just really was like not even hardly seen. So that's very interesting. But he, you know, he hit all those thresholds. So high end prospect, all that kind of good stuff. Luther Burden, a lot of question marks, had a great season. But, you know, kind of tapered off there at the end, which I think we kind of expected, because they didn't really play anyone great. And towards the end, they started getting more into that SEC, you know, tourney kind of deal, and like you started seeing it all coming down. And then I believe they played what, Ohio State there at the end of the season. Is that right? I think that's right. Yeah, they played somebody with like a decent defense, and Luther had like 15 yards receiving and a touchdown or something like that, you know. So not the greatest ending this season, but he had a good season overall. Stephon Diggs, kind of the opposite, started off hot and then kind of fell off completely towards the end of the season. And then Nico Collins, who is the new hotness, like everyone just absolutely loves Nico, you know, like probably the most inconsistent player on this list, but you know, has had some huge blow up games. So this is a very fun one and interesting one, but I'm interested to see or hear what you think of this tier.
Yeah, no, it's a very interesting tier, and you could go a lot of different ways with it. What I will say, though, is that the recent fall off for Stephon Diggs is a little bit concerning. And I'm not saying that he's done, because I don't think a caliber of that player is just all of a sudden done, right? But at the end of the day, I think at his age, going to be 30 here, correct? If he isn't already. And you're looking ahead for the next couple of years. Well, Nico is still in that offense in Houston for at least one more year. So at a very bare minimum, the guy who has really taken a nice step forward this year and is paired with just a quarterback like Stafford, who just makes his wide receiver one or even wide receiver two, who can support multiple guys, just elevates them so much. I actually think that I'm going to go Nico Collins ahead of Stephon Diggs. And for some, that's bold. For some, it's not necessarily. There's going to be a lot of discourse about, is Nico for real? And I think the truth lands somewhere in the middle. It's like, I don't think he's this like bona fide like wide receiver one in the NFL. But at the same time, if he re-signs with the Texans, he's already like, we know he's going to be there one more season. It doesn't matter if Dell's there. He was doing really well with Tank Dell, and Tank Dell's coming off a decent injury, that's for sure. So I think there's room for multiple guys to eat there. Maybe my tune will change if they bring in like another high-end wide receiver. That certainly could happen, but I mean, Nico Collins was no slouch this season by any means. So at the end of the day, I've come around on him after being quite low for a while. So I'm going to have Nico Collins, then Stephon Diggs, and then ultimately Luther Burden and Zachariah Branch. They kind of have to battle it out there at 3 and 4 for me personally. I'm not willing to move them ahead of Diggs yet, but I mean, I think you said it pretty well. Like, Burden had a good season. He took a step forward that he needed to, but maybe not all the way there. So we can't feel safe that he's going to be like this bona fide, like NFL stud recruit or stud prospect when he comes out next year. And then same thing with Zachariah Branch. Like, he showed everything that you wanted to see for the most part as far as a freshman season, but even then you can still poke a few holes. Like, is he even like 5'10"? I mean, I know he's listed that way. He's probably like 5'9". He had a pretty lackluster. I mean, for being an explosive guy, we know he's explosive. If you're looking at like surface level, like yards per reception, though, he was not hitting it. And like you said, he didn't really do so well down the stretch. So I'd be curious to see if he was banged up or what, but he didn't necessarily end the way that we all wanted him to, like with an emphatic, like, I am the stud. I am the wide receiver one for USC of the future. He just, you know, he showed that those flashes that you want to see that gets you intrigued, but he hasn't fully convinced me that he's an elite player, but he's going to be ranked up highly there in Devy. So Zachariah Branch at 4, but by no means is that, you know, slander or hating on him. He's a great player.
Yeah, I like it. I can't do it. I can't put Nico Collins over Stephon Diggs. I can't do it. I'm with you that I don't think there's any reason to think that Diggs is dead. Once again, with the offensive coordinator changed and everything, I think that, you know, just it takes time. Things are going to be better. You know, and same thing with, you know, I was saying with Kincaid, Diggs didn't have some like amazing game in this past game, but you know, he had like eight or nine receptions and like 80 something yards or whatever. Like, he's perfectly fine. I'm looking at his whopper on the season, which is weighted opportunity rating, and it's a 0.7, which is elite. Like, anything 0.7 and above is elite. So he's still earning targets at an elite level. He's still getting the ball. He's still doing all of the right things. It's just, he wasn't scoring the touchdowns. He wasn't getting those big plays and the stuff like that we're really used to. And so I feel like it's fluke-ish at the very least. Maybe I'm wrong, but I cannot put Nico Collins. I feel like he's I don't want to comp the players or anything, but like I feel like he's very like Gabe Davis-esque, where, you know, like, and once again, not comping the players, but just kind of comping the situations where like they can have blow up games, they can do that. You know, you have a solid quarterback that can get the ball in your hands, you know, whether it's a broken play or you just did a good job getting open that time, whatever. I feel like they can have those big blow up games and then they can completely disappear. And obviously we know that Tank Dell was showing out as a, you know, as a rookie, you know, like he's going to grow as a player, and maybe that's a surprise, but we always knew the possibility of Tank Dell happening, you know, was a possibility. So I think that it's not that much of a surprise that, you know, he was showing out. Maybe it was a surprise that he was having like 200 yard games and stuff like that. But, you know, so it's also a surprise that Nico Collins is putting those games together. So I wonder, A, Nico wasn't healthy the entire season. Tank wasn't healthy the entire season. Are they going to bring in another wide receiver? And if they do that, everyone's talking about how amazing this wide receiver class is. If they bring in one of these decent wide receivers, they don't have a first round pick, so they're not going to bring in a Troy Franklin or MHJ or, you know, any of those guys. But if they bring in a guy in the second round, which once again, great wide receiver class, there's plenty of guys that are going to be in the second, third round that are still going to be quality guys. If they do that, who's to say that that person doesn't take at least a little bit of that role away from Nico? But he is producing in the NFL right now. I feel like he's got to be at two, just because of the question marks with Burden and Branch. So I don't mind having him at two, but I really feel like Diggs is still like a pretty clear one here for me. And then I've never liked Burden. I made my apology, you know, but I will have him here at three. I think that there's just too many question marks with Branch. New QB, you know, the QB that we thought was going to be the QB transferred out. You know, now we have what, Miller Moss as the possible QB. We don't even, you know, have that as 100% guarantee. And there's just too many question marks. Didn't really look great, you know, going or towards the end of the season. And while Burden didn't really look all that great either, I feel like his role is going to be very similar, if not, you know, the same, you know, if not exactly the same this upcoming year. So unless they bring in some other wide receiver that takes over that role, which I don't really see happening, then I feel like it's going to be more of the same from Burden. And so I'd put them, you know, pretty close to each other, but I would have Burden at three and Branch at four.
Yeah, I respect it. And I guess the last thing I'll add on the Nico Collins thing is that, like, even with him banged up this season, even with him, you know, missing multiple games, and I know Diggs hasn't been perfectly consistent either, but I mean, Nico Collins finishes at the wide receiver 12, so back in wide receiver one in production in his third year alongside, you know, like you said, Tank Dell was eating for much of the year. And then Stephon Diggs, who's about to turn 31 years old, and I didn't realize, I thought he was about to turn 30. He's about to turn 31 this upcoming season. It's like, Diggs was like a low-end wide receiver one as well. So it's like basically these guys were finishing in similar territories. And I guess just give me the age with Nico Collins. And I think that at the end of the day, it feels gross, right? That's why we can't really bear doing, or a lot of dynasty managers and especially redraft managers are like, no, you can't do that. It's like, oh, these things change with these guys aging. Like, it's just unfortunate in this format that we play in. But maybe I'm just reacting a little bit to Nico's season, but I don't know. I'm an ageist at heart. So what can I say?
Yeah, I kind of want to skip this last grouping because we'll go over it real quick. Okay, so we have Tet McMillan, Carnell Tate, Rashee Rice, and Davante Adams. I hate how I feel about Davante Adams because I love the player and like I still think he's got it. Like, I don't think anything has changed from his end, but I mean, honestly, as of right now, we have to assume that Aiden O'Connell is his quarterback going forward. Obviously, that could very well change and probably will change, you know, going into next season. But we can't guarantee that by any means, you know, and obviously it's a good quarterback class. We'll get into that here in a little bit. But, you know, we just can't, it's really difficult to guarantee like one of the high end quarterbacks going to Las Vegas, you know, even though it's definitely possible. So I feel like between age and uncertainty, you kind of have to have him. No, I can't do it. I can't put him. So I was going to put him just because of age and uncertainty. I was going to put him at four, but I can't do it. I'm not doing it. I still don't believe in Rashee Rice. I really don't. I'm in Toronto saying, Toronto Dave's still in the chat, and he's saying going to the Jets to be back with Aaron. That would be amazing. I don't know if that'll happen, but that would be absolutely amazing if they could do that. I kind of feel like he's a Raider now, though. Like, he seems to be all in on that head coach. I can't think of his name right now, but he seems to be all in on that whole team and, like, the concept and everything. So I feel like he's just kind of a Raider, so I'm hoping that they bring someone in. I do not believe in Rashee Rice. Like, I feel like he's the best of the worst, you know? And so, like, it's showing out, and he's having some decent games. But if you look, it's just a bunch of, like, dump offs and like, you know, like, short dinks and dunks and stuff. Like, it's nothing amazing. He's not doing hardly anything to, like, really earn playing time, earn, you know, points, whatever. It's, once again, it's the best of the worst. You have a bunch of guys that literally cannot catch the ball. And then you have Rashee Rice, who, you know, doesn't even catch the ball all the time, but, like, does a pretty decent job with it. I honestly don't know how to truly feel about Carnell Tate, but he's obviously a great prospect. You know, like, we generally love, you know, his situation and everything, even though it is kind of murky right now. But I feel like I got to have him at two. And then Tet McMillan is the clear one here. Actually, I'm so much higher on Tet than most people, I feel like, because I feel like you hear a lot of Devy, you know, analysts and everything talking about these players, and they're like, oh yeah, you know, I got Tet in my top five. Like, Tet is top tier for me. Like, he's proved so much. And I don't even want to hardly talk about the other names. I just want Tet from this grouping.
That's fair. You know, I would be curious too. Like, I mean, your Pac-12, I guess, I don't know what you want to call it, like, contributions to your model, basically, do knock those players just a smidge, just because of the systems and the competition and whatnot that they play. But,
and he's still standing out.
Yeah, right. I was curious about that. But yeah, I'm there with you. Tet has to be one. I haven't finalized, like, those wide receiver ranks yet on the Devy side, but I mean, he, like you said, he's going to be top tier. And then after that, it does drop off a decent amount here for me. And I have a really hard time differentiating between Davante Adams, who, you know, he could have one more stud season in him, and then Rashee Rice, where it's like, some dynasty managers probably will pay up for him. You're probably not getting a first out of Davante Adams, and in, you know, the vast majority of situations, you might be able to get that out of Rashee Rice, and that's why I have him at two. Now, you know, in a Devy league, now that's kind of a cop out, because in a Devy league, those firsts are not, like, they're depleted, right? They're not actually firsts that you'd see in dynasty. So for that reason, it's like, I still have Rice just ahead, but I don't like him, right? You have every reason to be skeptical about him, both as a prospect and what he's done this season. But as long as he's attached to Mahomes for the next 3 years, we'll see what they bring in. But man, I still think that Rice maybe edges out Davante Adams. And then last but not least, Carnell Tate, like, he's maybe the highest upside from, like, Adams and Rice. And I mean, Tet's higher upside, I think, than Carnell Tate. I mean, we hope that Carnell Tate can eventually become what Tet is. So I think that Tate definitely has to be a tier down here, but he is going to round out at number four. So Tet, McMillan, Rashee Rice, Davante Adams, and then Carnell Tate.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess I'm just going with the upside with Tate having him at two, but, you know, I just don't like Rice, and Adams is, you know, what, 31 and a not great situation. So it's really tough to do that grouping. But real quick, Tet is my Devy wide receiver one after bringing the NFL players to the NFL. So I'm putting my stamp of approval on it right now. Tet, Devy wide receiver one.
I think I'll be there with you, but I
listen to a lot of pods, and I don't feel like a lot of people necessarily agree with this. I feel like most people are like, oh yeah, you know, he's top five, maybe even top three, whatever. But I feel like most people don't have him at one. So I'll be interested to see if other people join us in that, when, you know, maybe they have a little more time to look at the ranks and all that kind of stuff, because obviously it's still very early in the off season, but we are running a little low on time, so why don't we get over to the QBs there? And this one is going to be pretty easy for me. So we have Connor Wegman, Will Levis, Michael Penix, and Nico Iamaleva. I kind of got it right that time. And so we obviously have you know, two players that are three players that are, you know, still in college. Obviously, Michael Penix coming to the NFL, and then Will Levis, you know, is technically the starter for the Titans. Although, you know, we just saw that the head coach got fired, and you know, I think they also have a top seven pick in the NFL draft. Like, they could easily go out, draft a guy, trade up, do whatever. Like, there's a lot that can and probably will change for the Titans coming up here pretty soon. For me, it's Connor Wegman pretty easily at one. He's already proven, even though he did get injured, but he's proven in the SEC to at least be a viable QB. And I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he's still I don't want to say the Devy QB one, just because it's kind of gross right now, you know. So you know, with the injury and everything, it's tough. Like, I haven't truly finalized my QB ranks for that, but I will say that he is definitely up there in that mix. I think I might have Jackson Dart ahead of him still, but you know, I think that Wegman should at least be in that mix for QB one for, you know, next year. And then let's see. Michael Penix, I mean, I really hated to see how he went out last night. You know, I put him here on our little graphic and everything. I feel like he deserved better than how he went out, but I never liked him. You know, I never thought that he was this like quality quarterback. We were talking about it last night, how, you know, I really think that, I really feel like I lost my train of thought. I was reading your note, but basically, like I said, I never truly believe in Penix. Oh, like that, I was saying, you know, we kind of feel like he's going to be like a high end backup, or at the very least, I feel like he's going to be a high end backup in the NFL. Maybe he could be a starter, you know, low end starter, that kind of thing. Nico, I really don't feel great about. You know, I think that people want him to be a thing. I don't know that he actually is a thing, and you know how I feel about QBs that haven't proven themselves in college. You know, like, he hasn't really done anything. If anything, he kind of looked crappy in the one game that he actually, you know, did do something in the, I believe, the bowl game for Tennessee there. You know, he didn't really look all that great. I want to see if he, shows up in my, yeah, he dropped just, you know, it's small sample. Like, obviously nothing is set in stone or anything, but he dropped substantially in my ranks just by that one game, because he just did not really look all that great. But I don't know what to do with Will Levis. Like, he is technically a starting QB right now. I don't want him on my team. I don't like him. I don't think he's good, but he is a starting QB. So I feel like, once again, Connor Wegman at one, Will Levis at two, even though I don't like it and I think it's dumb. and then I will put Nico, just because of the prospect, you know, the five-star prospect, the possibility of becoming a thing, and then Michael Penix Jr. And once again, I think he's more of like a high-end backup than anything else.
Well, we got a Will Levis truther here on the podcast.
That's, yeah, I don't like that I just put that on a recording. Like, someone that's going to come back to bite me in the ass. John had him at two.
I mean, I'm there with you at Wegman, just because Wegman at one has proved it. I really think that there's some elements of safety there. He could, you know, do the same thing that he did this last season, but just stay healthy, and he could be, you know, a high-end quarterback in this upcoming class. And then Nico, it is a little bit of a stretch to see what he ultimately does progression-wise. But I'm actually very encouraged by that bowl game, not necessarily saying like he's this like college or NFL-ready passer, but he's a true freshman out there against one of the toughest defenses in the entire nation in Iowa. And he still had a pretty solid game with three rushing touchdowns and a passing touchdown. And it's not like he was like completing like 30% of his passes. Like, yeah, he was not pushing the ball down the field, but who does?
That's
against
my problem.
Iowa?
Yeah, 6.9 intended air yards. That's, I was small sample, one game, first time, you know, I get all that, but I that's why I'm like, man, I don't know. Those are not great numbers.
Yeah. I get it. The other games he played in this season, like, if he's going to have a schedule similar to what he did last year, I mean, he's not going to be playing Iowa all the time. He's going to be playing Virginia, UTSA, UConn, Vandy. I mean, it's like, those are going to be such cake matchups. He's going to put up some pretty insane statistics, I would think, with another year of experience in that system, getting starter reps in practice and in games. And like you said, high-end recruit status and size and all that stuff. He needs to build up that frame, obviously. He's very thin out there at 6'6" and like 200-ish. But I do think that he's in a good position to continue to develop over the next 2 years. So I think that Wigman is closely followed by Nico. And then I do think that, you know, Will Levis, he has to come next, but I'm not putting him ahead of Nico. I'll take the upside shot there because I think you and I are both convinced that Will Levis is just not a good NFL quarterback, even if he's got the role for another, you know, maybe year or partial year. And then Penix at the end, who we both agree that he's more of like a high-end backup at the NFL level versus ever being like a actual, you know, good starter or anything like that.
Yeah, I think that one was pretty easy. This grouping is definitely going to be a lot more difficult. We have Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, Justin Fields, and Tua Tagovailoa. That one is definitely going to be, you know, how do you feel about Jaden? You know, I know you definitely came around this year. Everyone really came around this year on him. But, you know, then we have Caleb Williams, the generational talent and everything as well. Justin Fields, a great prospect in his own, but, you know, has some question marks, hasn't exactly truly proven it. I mean, like, I think he's done enough, but I know a lot of people do not. And then obviously Tua, who is in a great situation, but maybe not necessarily the highest of end, you know, of quarterbacks, you know, but like, you know, sometimes situation does matter. So this is a very interesting one. How do you feel about this one?
I think I feel the same way as you. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Like, I mean, I've looked at this, I've thought about it in advance, and I still am like, I don't know. But hey, give it your best shot here, John. What do you think of these four guys who are, they're not the top tier of dynasty quarterbacks, of course, but they're kind of in that next one of just a lot of studs and at least high-end upside?
Well, I think I'm going to take the cop-out road here, and I'm just going to say Caleb Williams is going to have the most value of any of these four, you know, going into this offseason and into the season. So I feel like that's the easiest one, even though I don't feel like he's that generational talent that everyone says that he is. I do believe he's a very good quarterback and prospect, and that he will end up being a good quarterback at some point. My whole thing is I don't really feel like he's ready day one. And that's why, you know, I don't feel like it's the whole generational thing, that kind of thing. But that doesn't mean that I feel like he's bad or whatever. So I feel like it's got to be Caleb. And then, you know, obviously if Jaden lands in the right spot, you know, we can make the arguments for it. But I feel like I want Jaden Daniels to be Justin Fields. Like that, you know, when it's all said and done, that's kind of what I want it to be. And Justin Fields is what, 30 pounds heavier, 20 pounds heavier, something like that. So, and we see the hits that Fields takes. And I mean, he takes it like a man. Like that dude is, he's a beast.
You mean, oh yeah. I was going to say like Jaden Daniels, you also see the hits that he takes, and he's just a little tiny dude in comparison. Yeah.
They both do. But I mean, I'm saying Fields just gets up, and I mean, actually they both do. They do a great job of just bouncing right back and everything. But you know, there's definitely some question marks. As much as I love Jaden Daniels, I think it would be difficult for me to have him ahead of Fields going into the year. I would need to at least see some information to make me feel a little more, you know, confident about it. Great landing spot, great receivers on that team, like yada, yada, yada. There's definitely the chance that Jaden Daniels goes to New England or something like that. And then I don't really know if I want too much to do with them at that point. So we'll see. So Caleb, Fields, then I'll do Jaden, and then I'll do Tua. And it's nothing against Tua. I actually like Tua more than I feel like a lot of people. I don't think he gets enough credit because he has not been bad this year. Now, obviously, he's aided by having one of the best wide receivers in the NFL on his team and having a great coach and all that. But, you know, just like with Puka, just like with, you know, Kyren Williams, like he has those. He has those things. He has the coach. He has the great wide receiver. So we have to take all that into account and say, at least for the next couple of years, Tua is probably going to be a very high-end quarterback. You know, like maybe, you know, maybe not like top five or anything like that, but he could easily be a top 12 quarterback each year for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever. So I do have Tua at four here, but I mean, I really don't hate Tua or anything like that. Like I think he would be really close, and it really wouldn't be that crazy to have Tua over Jaden without knowing landing spots and all that kind of stuff. But I love Jaden. So like, I just got to have him at three here.
Yeah. And I get it. I think it's more safe to have Tua over him, and that's where I'm going to fall. Ultimately, I'm going to have it Caleb Williams. Like you said, he's the guy who everybody's going to be spending the 101 or 102 on. People are not going to be spending or like Justin Fields just does not fetch that type of value right now. And, you know, I mean, I think that you said that Jaden Daniels' best case scenario, or like one of the higher end outcomes, is that Jaden Daniels becomes like a Justin Fields type of, you know, fantasy producer and quarterback and whatnot. I actually feel the same way about Caleb Williams, and people will be like, whoa, that's blasphemy. He's Mahomes like, and this and that. And I just, you know, he needs to end up in that absolute perfect situation. I don't know if right now, you know, we see that situation being there at the very top of the draft, but who knows how things will fall. Ultimately, I think that Caleb Williams does deserve to be that top spot. It's just, you know, he's kind of the younger version of Fields. And if he can develop, just like Fields needs to still develop as a passer at the NFL level, the ceiling is just immense for Caleb Williams. And then Justin Fields, I have him at number two, just because I really do like what he's done. And regardless of some of the struggles he's had, I do blame some of that on the offensive environment and, you know, some of the supporting pieces. Now that he's had DJ Moore, you can really see, wow, he can do some nice things, especially down the stretch this season, when you actually put the pieces out there and let him use those pieces and throw the ball a little bit, in addition to his very valuable rushing asset that he provides your team. So I have Fields at two, then Tua. I just think that there's more safety there. We see that Tua, like you said, is in the great system. He's already producing at a high level, and there's always that concern of like, if he gets another bad concussion, could that be it? Certainly. But then Jaden Daniels rounding out that list there of those very talented quarterbacks at four. And Jaden, we just want to see ultimately where he ends up. And I think he's a great prospect, but maybe not quite as safe as some of these other guys.
Yeah, and I agree. You know, I guess all I ever wanted was for Jaden to get respect, and I feel like he's actually getting respect now. So, like, I don't even care. Yeah. You're like, put him at four. I don't care. He's in the mix, and that's all I truly care about now, because I always felt like he deserved to be in the mix, and he's there now. So we're good. And I know we're kind of running low here, or definitely running low here. So I'm just going to throw out these four names, and if you have anything you want to truly change or whatever for this last tier, then go ahead and do it. I have Brock Purdy, Drake May, Trevor Lawrence, Jordan Love in that order. I don't think that's all that controversial, but I don't know. Maybe you feel a little different.
Yeah, I think I actually disagree a fair amount on this one. So that's kind of fun for our last little grouping here. But because I felt like we were pretty much on the same page with the quarterbacks. Like, I mean, I switched Levis and Nico. Like, I like Nico more. And like, I switched Tua and Jaden. I liked Tua a little bit more. But in this one, I actually flipped pretty completely. I have Drake May at one. So, I mean, not that different, right? But Trevor Lawrence, then Jordan Love, then Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy all the way at four, and not because I hate him by any means, but because Jordan Love has risen a bit, and I've seen Purdy drop a little bit. I just think that system helps him out so much, and maybe that's just disrespect to Brock Purdy, who is an MVP candidate, right? But he's just in that perfect situation with his weapons and coaching and all that stuff, and I don't know what the long-term situation is going to be there. So I think that could be crazy. I know Toronto Dave's in the chat. He's agreeing with me on the QBs, which love to see it, Dave. But you know, again, this is not hate. I love Drake May, and I think he's a very, very safe prospect, probably more safe than Caleb Williams in this draft. I know that's bold. I don't care. And I know you've been there for a long time, John, as far as saying like Drake May has been just kind of slept on as far as like how good and how safe he is at the same time. And then Trevor Lawrence, I mean, I know some people are considering dropping him down a lot in ranks. So I think having him at two is showing that, well, Jordan Love's not at that level. He's not up there with those guys. And I just don't think that Purdy, maybe it's just more my disregard for Purdy as like a long-term guy who's going to be there for years and years and years. But I think that Jordan Love is doing something similar to like CJ Stroud, where he's elevating all these young wide receivers in this offense. No matter who's out there, these Green Bay Packer receivers and tight ends, they're all putting up great numbers. And, you know, I don't by any means think that that's a realistic expectation for him to be as good as CJ Stroud. That's not what I'm saying, but I mean, I just think that Jordan Love, for how bad he was as a recruit, I didn't like him, and how, you know, he hasn't really done anything his first few years. He's taken that gigantic step forwards. Just like Purdy has, but I think, you know, Purdy's so much of the weapons and system versus it seems like Jordan Love is actually elevating his teammates, which is it surprised me completely. I've done a complete 360 on Jordan Love.
Yeah, I think with Purdy, it's just, you know, it's the system. But once again, he's in the system. Like, I don't see it changing anytime soon unless he just completely falls off the face of the planet and, like, you know, does a 180 on how he's been playing. He's been playing amazing. And, you know, it's exactly what Kyle Shanahan wants. They're probably going to make the Super Bowl, if not win it. You know, like there's no reason to truly believe that things are changing for Purdy. And that's why I feel like I have to have him at one, because I mean, he's been a high end quarterback the entire time. And, you know, like there was obviously question marks going into the season. I don't really feel like there's any more question marks, you know, at this point. Like, maybe George Kittle is, you know, getting too old and whatever, but, like, you know how I feel about Kittle, so that doesn't really change anything. Ayuk is an amazing wide receiver. Deebo is an amazing wide receiver /, gadget player, like, that kind of thing. And then, obviously, you know, whoever you want to have there, Kittle or whatever, as the wide receiver 3, tight end, you know, all that kind of good stuff is great. I love Drake May. I've always loved Drake May. I'm the biggest fan. I'm really starting to get scared that he's going to be a New England Patriot. Like, it just seems like that's going to happen right at this point. And I'm praying that it doesn't. But the more I think about it, you know, they're picking at 3. You know, what are the Bears going to do? What are the Cardinals going to do? Probably, you know, the Cardinals already said, hey, Kyler's our guy, all that kind of stuff. It just really seems like, unless someone trades up with the Cardinals or, you know, whatever, like, obviously there's things that can happen, things that can change, but I'm just really getting scared. And I don't want to see that whole rebuild process at the Patriots, because they have so much work to do. And that's why, even though, like, I love the talent, all that kind of stuff, I feel like in New England, not to say that I wouldn't draft him, but I would definitely have to lower Drake, or any quarterback for that matter, down my ranks. And then, you know, Trevor Lawrence has not been the generational prospect that everyone thought he was going to be. But, you know, I still think he's clearly the guy. Like, he's going to be there. Like, nothing's changing or anything like that. He's got some good pieces around him. And, like, I get what Jordan Love has done, has been, you know, great. I don't truly believe it. I feel like at the very least, the touchdowns are a little too fluky for me. Like, it feels like he scored a lot of touchdowns, and, you know, like, not to say that he can't do a lot of the stuff that he's still doing, but, you know, I mean, go look at how many 3 touchdown games he had, and then go look at, like, how many 3 touchdown games any great, you know, quarterback in the NFL has in any given season. And it just seems like it was pretty damn high. So I think that, you know, just like a Geno Smith was a top 5 quarterback last year. And then this year he came down to earth. He was still perfectly fine, all that kind of stuff, but he just didn't quite put it all together like he did for that one season. I kind of feel like it's going to be something similar. Jordan Love has proven a lot of the naysayers, myself included, wrong, but I don't believe that I can have him, you know, that high. And so I know we didn't want to go long on that one, but, you know, like you said, we definitely had some arguments there.
Yeah, very fair arguments. And I want to put Purdy ahead of him. I think I'm considering it now. I just, for whatever reason, I just don't know if I ever feel comfortable or confident saying that, like, Shanahan's going to stick with the same quarterback year after year after what's transpired. But, I mean, the reality was Jimmy G was not it. Trey Lance was not it. Brock Purdy's doing much better things than those guys did in that offense. So I think we should consider that, and very good argument to get Brock Purdy up there amongst these other, you know, guys who they might have their blemishes or concerns, but still a good quarterback group for sure.
Absolutely. Well, we really do appreciate you guys listening. Hopefully this was something that, you know, that you guys enjoyed and help you make some trades, possibly at least get an idea of how you should value some of these players going into your rookie drafts or going into the offseason. Because, you know, if you go to Twitter, you see a different wide receiver 1, RB1, QB1 in the class every single day, depending on what game just happened, what highlight they just watched, and all that kind of stuff. So we're here to calm all that kind of stuff down and say, hey, we've been watching these players. We've been, you know, scouting these players for years, and here's where they should actually fall in line and all that. But we do have to get Aaron out of here. He's got a honey-do list a mile long, and he's got to get to. But Aaron, do you have any words of wisdom for us before we get out of here?
No. I mean, just like John said, try to feel the trade market out there. Just get a feel for it and see if you can make some trades, whether it's specific guys we talked about tonight or utilizing one of those strategies and really thinking ahead to how useful these Devy assets are sitting on your, you know, maybe your taxi squad for another year or two versus maybe trying to get a guy who can actually produce for you and as a sneaky buy. So yeah, it was a lot of fun doing this and looking forward to breaking down more things. I've been looking into the incoming freshman class now, actually. And I know John's got some stuff in the future we'll talk about, you know, kind of in the works too. So some incoming freshman content coming your way soon, hopefully on the podcast here.
Absolutely. I did a terrible job of doing any kind of recruit analysis or anything like that last year. And I have at least a goal and a plan in place to do a much better job this year. And Aaron always has that covered. So even if I don't, even if I'm a fat liar, he will definitely still do all that. Make sure you check out the Full Tilt Devy Pod tomorrow night, because we're actually doing a Devy mock draft in which we're taking all of the NFL players out. And then we're going to talk about Tet McMillan and all the players that are left for Devy purposes. So taking all the NFL side away from it and just focusing on the future should be a lot of fun. Make sure you check that out tomorrow night, I believe at 9 p.m. Eastern time. But for now, we're going to go ahead and cash out. Toronto Dave says, excellent show, gents. Thank you, buddy. We'll see you later.